Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. Today, I would like to talk about, is work-life balance a fallacy? Kristen, kick us off.
And I'm going to say the expression work-life balance, like every other bromide that's intended to inspire that this is the big fix, just embrace this and everything will be good, I think almost always inspires people to think, oh, just one more thing I can fail at. And it's supposed to be just so simple. So as a bromide, I don't like it. As the headline to teaching people that work and life balance, like any other balance, is work. It's not a goal that you can achieve, but it's like this ever circulating process that you have to keep revisiting and you have to keep communicating to the people in your life or your work about. And if you look at it that way, then I'm very happy with it as a headline, that I think we can, through communication and understanding that what we want to achieve this week and what we want to achieve next month and what we want to achieve 2 years from now can all be very different. So the balance needs to change accordingly.
I listened very intently to the conversation you had on this topic with the three men a few weeks ago. And I don't want to start a gender wars, but it was such an interesting insight from them to talk about, you know, maybe not per se life work balance, but they brought in the word harmony. Mm-hmm. But personally, I want to take it even further. And as a mom, as a business owner, as a wife, as, you know, so many of us who are doing so many things, the drop of the hat, you need to focus on an entirely different aspect of life. I think it really comes down to order of priorities. What are the priorities? What are you prioritizing? And then there's the layer beneath that that goes much deeper that doesn't seem to be registering with the opposite gender, which is the invisible labor that comes with it. You know, just saying, and I had a conversation with my kids the other day when they were playing, they're 6 and 9. And it's like, oh, daddy's babysitting. I was like, time out. Daddy's what? Daddy's babysitting. He's like, is mommy babysitting? No. What is mommy doing? She's parenting. Uh-huh. So I was like, just starting to have those conversations around, it's not so much on women like, oh, just tell me what to do and the guy's going to be so awesome and it will be helping out. We are still the ones who are holding mental tabs and we're still running all the lists and everything else. And that is exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think coming off of both of those points, really, especially at work, understanding what is important and what is urgent and setting those boundaries and being able to prioritize the urgent things over important things, as well as, you know, not being afraid to ask, okay, when does this need to get done by? Can it wait till tomorrow? To be able to give yourself some grace and some time to be able to try to have any sort of kind of harmony between work and life, especially being, you know, a working parent, generally speaking.
It's interesting that we have created this dichotomy in this country and I guess in the world about you have work and then you have life. No, you have life and work is part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that too many of us try to think that we can be 100% of everything 100% of the time. And that's not reality. That's not the way life works if you want to have work part of it.
And I think I'm going to circle back to what I think all of everything you've said is very correct, but it all requires communicating properly, because how I choose to pick my goals or manage my life is exceptionally different than even the woman standing next to me, and almost diametrically different than the 5 men standing next to me. Mm-hmm. So if I can't communicate what's best for me and what keeps me grounded, keeps me happy, keeps me fulfilled, I like working a great deal. And I like working a great deal more now than I did 25 years ago. So balance means and looks very different to me. And if I'm not able to communicate that to the people around me, then that's where I think the work has to come in. We have to make sure we're always communicating, like you are to your children, that daddy's not a babysitter.
And can we have a conversation about work-life balance without talking about guilt and expectations?
No, and actually that was going to be my question. How much of that conversation do we find ourselves just justifying our choices as opposed to communicating, but justifying and excusing ourselves and, you know, going back to the guilt and shame and trying to fit the mold in a way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like at least for maybe my generation, generations, maybe one before me and one after me, I was brought up in a house that, you know, my mom stayed at home. So she doesn't understand the working mother or working parent model. So even trying to explain certain things to her of like, yeah, I'm not going to pick up my daughter from daycare until 5 because I have meetings until 4:30 and then I have to get there. So justifying just how I live my daily life to other people, you know, that can be tough sometimes and trying and sometimes exhausting too.
Yeah. I think there's definitely an aspect of, and I see this in my sister, where she wants to be a full-time mom and she also wants to have a really good career. And the guilt that she feels of the expectations where if she's at work, she's not with her daughter. And if she's with her daughter, she's missing a meeting. And
no, and then there's the layer of just the comparing ourselves to others. For example, when you go to school and you don't attend a bake sale with the homemade stuff, you know, that you have baked from scratch, it's all organic. I could feel the, you know, it's like, and it's such a surface level conversation, but it's deeply rooted. And I would invite the audience to really think about a programming, like you, Bridget, you mentioned what you were raised with. I was raised on the opposite side. It's like, if you don't have your own money, if you're not independent, you are not worthy of being a woman. You are at peril of whatever man decides to do with you. From the young age, I was raised with that, and I burnt out because it's like,
Yeah.
But I think that this speaks to the fact that we've turned this conversation into feeling guilty that we can't and making excuses to others. And I think the whole idea, that's the bromide we all think we were supposed to achieve, which is what I need. Mm-hmm. I think balance is about doing what works for you. It does not work for me to cook the cookies. First of all, nobody would really want to eat them. So why would I want to cook them? I mean, but and holding and owning what works for you without, and that's what I think is balance. Mm-hmm. Seeing how others are not a part of this unless they're part of the balancing act, the husband, the boss, the coworkers. Everybody else is just an observer and you have to treat them as such and not let it worry you.
I think that's probably the best bit of advice if we're in the business of giving advice about this is do what works for you and don't let people pack your bags and send you on a guilt trip.
Right.
Exactly.
But how does that work? How do you manage that within your own mind?
I mean, something that's worked for me is very strategically and consciously picking people to surround myself with, whether it's a boss or coworkers or friends that will support that, right? That aren't afraid, like aren't going to judge me if I show up with Wegmans cupcakes instead of, you know, in a little Tupperware container. Somebody that understands that I might be running late because I'm going to be juggling meetings and then pick up and then having to feed my daughter. And so all of those things, I think it's really important to kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of weed out the people that are not going to be supporting that role that you've chosen to have in your own life.
I personally also reevaluate and renegotiate the terms with myself all the time when it comes to the why. Are certain things important and what are the drivers behind it? And just in past couple of months, I noticed there was so much that was driven by the ego and the need to prove and justify myself that I had to be really honest and perhaps Marie Kondo my own life. Does this spark joy or not? Are those commitments sparking joy? Are they something that I'm going to look back in 10, 15 years, or is just important today because somebody else says that it is?
I think engaging in the acts every day, there are things that I do that people who care about me think I'm doing too much. It's causing too much stress. But in fact, if this is the goal that I want to achieve right now, that's actually nobody else's concern. And if I surround myself with people who care about me and give me advice, but in the end of the day, support me being happy and me being fulfilled and whatever that looks like, that's the best we can do. Just surround ourselves with those people and help teach the people who work for us and the people we work for that we will support them in all their crazy changes and help them to support us in those same things.
Yeah. And I think as former athletes, we all have this code that carries us through. You know, you innately know what to prioritize. You innately know to put your head down and just get to work and get things done. It's a
not
very
a joy. Yeah. Not everything is a joy. Some things are painful, and that's okay.
Well, that is a really good place for us to end this conversation. That is our 10 minutes. Thank you so much for talking to me about work-life balance from this perspective. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.